Now we can jump to Sketchplats. And on Sketchplats, we will not need to swear people in. So we'll take up the first one, item 21, PR 2021-6077, Sketchplat 2021-120 for ADTI LLC at 701 High Street Southeast. And this, maybe the agent is Ivan Santisteban. Is there someone here to represent? Ivan?
Yes, this is Ivan.
Okay. Okay, great. How do you say your last name?
Santisteban.
Santisteban. Okay.
Yes.
As I got in the middle of it, I said this really is a Spanish name. So, okay. Go ahead and give us an overview of what you're looking to do.
Basically, all I'm trying to do is cut this lot in half. On the sketch plat provided, I just splitting it in half in the middle, and that's it.
Okay, thank you. Let's get comments for you, Water Authority.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Ivan. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority.
Yes, sir.
So there's not a public water main within Hazeldine Avenue on the north side of the property. So potentially what you're looking at is the need to extend a public water main from High Street to the west across the property frontage. That'll be determined by an availability statement. I understand we have received your request for availability, and there was some follow-up, and we did receive the additional document related to that request showing what you're trying to do. So how this works is we review that as the engineering staff at the Water Authority determine the requirements in terms of the subdivision, and that gets issued in an official formal letter we call an availability statement. And there's a map in there that shows, okay, if you have to build something, here's what you need to build. That will take several weeks for us to issue to you, typically. Once that's issued, we require that to be issued before we sign the plat. So if you submitted next week to do the subdivision, we would not be ready. So typically that is ongoing while you have a surveyor hired and they're working on drawing things up, et cetera, et cetera. But you are required to have that formal letter from us called the availability statement prior to us signing the plating action to split the lot. Some other general information, your project is within our service area. That means you do not have to go through a board approval process. There's no pro rata owed. That's a potential extra fee. If other people have built the water lines for you, other private parties, they can assess you a portion of the charge. That's not applicable here. And some planning actions do require an infrastructure list with the city process. If there is a water main required, that will need to be on the infrastructure list. So that's where we're at. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
No, I already did apply for the serviceability statement online. I apologize to everybody. This is my first time doing this, so I'm not knowledgeable with the process. So I guess I'll probably be asking everybody at the same time, I can ask this at the very end, I guess, what the timelines are and what do we need to do to get this approved? Stuff like that, but that could come at the end of everybody's questions or comments.
I think this is Blaine again for the Water Authority. I think generally what we're looking at in terms of availability statement is between 6 and 8 weeks total time frame to issue that out. We've been doing better than that recently, but that's the normal typical time frame. And again, that's okay. Required before final signature on the plat. So that's where we're at in terms of that's going to be the holdup on our end. If it is on the infrastructure list, there's timing to get that handled. So that's another potential factor as you consider the timing for this project. If you have any questions,
sounds good.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. That gives me at least some timelines.
Excuse me. This is Chair Wolfley, and I just want to mention that's exactly what these sketch plots are about, is helping you understand what you need to do. And if it's your first time, that's great. That's what sketch plots are for. Code enforcement.
Hello, this is Charles Messis with code enforcement. Couple of things to note here. The zone designation here is R1A, which has a minimum lot size of 3,500 square feet, minimum lot width of 25 feet. You meet the lots, the proposed lots would meet the minimums for lot size and width. I provided the setbacks just for your awareness. Front setbacks would be 10 feet, interior side would be 5 feet, street side of the corner lot would be 10 feet, and the rear would be 10 feet. Per IDO 53C3B, for all low density residential development, driveways accessed from the front or street side of the property shall be at least 20 feet long. Here's the one thing that could be a potential issue. It's zoned R1A in an area of consistency, and the lots to be created are subject to the contextual lot size standards in IDO 51C2B. We did a calculation of the allowable lot size range, and the range would be from 0.099 acres up to 0.1652 acres. And that's basically saying that you're allowed a lot that you create to be anywhere from 75 to 125% of the average lot of the basically the Burnley County parcels on that block on both sides of the street with development on them. So if your lots, we didn't have an actual calculated number on there, but just to give you an example, an approved deviation request would be allowed potentially if approved for 10% of the smallest lot size. That would allow 0.0891 acres. And so if you can do a calculation, I did my own, and I believe your two lots are going to be underneath the 0.089, which would mean that you would have to have variances approved to be able to subdivide and create the two lots as proposed. The variance process does take some time. You're looking at approximately 3 to 4 months to get through that process. As of right now, that's a public hearing process that's held by the zoning hearing examiner. So you will go in front of the ZHE to submit the special exception request. There's still time to get into the December hearing. There's only one ZHE hearing per month. So if you submitted an application, it would be two applications, to be honest, one special exception request for each lot to be created that would essentially, if approved, would allow you to have the two lots created that would be essentially less than the 75% of the smallest average lot in the area of consistency there. So just if you need more information about that process, you can always come see us at the zoning counter and we can walk you through kind of the criteria, the application process, what that looks like in more detail.
Okay, so the way I'm seeing it, we meet the minimum lot size of 3,500 square feet, but we do not meet the percentage sizes is what you're saying, correct?
That's correct. This draws my assistant code enforcement. Yeah. Essentially, even though there are minimum lot sizes spelled out in the IDO, because of the area of consistency designation, it's essentially saying that you've got to meet, be consistent with the other lots in the neighborhood. And that's based on county parcels. And so we take a look at an average of the lots on both sides of the street that have development on them and say, okay, your lot that you're proposing to create have to be within 75 to 125% of that average. And your lots appear to be just under that 75% and even outside of what would be allowed, even with a deviation. A deviation request is a lot simpler, shorter process to try to go through, but I believe your lots are going to be outside of that. Best bet would be do the calculations and provide those to us. But I'm seeing that you're most likely going to be in a situation where you're going to need variances for the two lots.
Okay. All right. Now, what do we need for the variance as far as to submit for variance? Just a simple letter or?
The variance is it's a special exception process. As I mentioned, you can come see us at the zoning counter here at the Plaza del Sol building, and we can walk you through all the steps, the application, kind of give you some details about the justification letter, and you got to do neighborhood notification. The ZHE's administrative assistant will be involved, and she'll actually be able to walk you through parts of that process as well. As I mentioned, it does take time. There's an application fee. You're going to end up with two applications in this situation because of the two lots that you're trying to create. So it's a $214 fee for each application. And that's to get you all set up to go through the public hearing process.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, and this is Chair Wolfley, and I just want to add that there's, you know, criteria for the zoning hearing examiner to look at and review and to see that criteria is in the IDO. Do you have a site for that that maybe we can provide Mr. Santisteban? Yeah, because it's not just you go to the ZHE and you pay your money and he approves it. You have to argue that certain criteria are met. And I just like to point that out. And then it also allows your neighbors an opportunity to comment on the lot sizes that you're proposing as well. So, okay. Thank you, Mr. Maestas. That was very well explained. Thorough, and that is just a requirement in our IDO or zone code for consistency among lots. Parks and Recreation.
Bill Summerfield, Parks and Recreation, no comments.
Hydrology.
Ernest Trumihoe, Hydrology. Please provide a diagram showing existing drainage flow arrows to demonstrate that flows do not cross the proposed property line, or provide a cross-lot drainage easement showing beneficiaries and maintenance responsibilities. Now, as you, if you sat in for the last couple of them, you noticed that they both needed the cross-lot drainage easement, and a quick review does look like flows are going to be crossing that proposed property line. So I would suggest that you also add a cross-lot drainage easement on this, naming beneficiaries and maintenance responsibilities. Now, please note, an approved grading and drainage plan will be required prior to building permit. This is for the future. If any of the following conditions are met: 500 cubic yards of grading, 1,000 square foot of proposed building, or 10,000 square foot of proposed paving.
Okay. So if you're requiring a cross drainage easement.
Yes.
I mean, where exactly would that be on the property? I mean, if you've looked at it, I don't think one's necessary, depending on where the city requires the drainage to go. And that would be my question, I guess, then to you is.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. So cross lot drainage easements, they're not the typical easement that you're thinking of where you can't build in it or anything like that. All it's saying is you're acknowledging the fact that water, when it rains, is probably going to flow from one property to the next. That's all it's doing. That way, in the future, after this line is put in, and if you sell off one half of that or both of those, that you don't have property owners saying, your water's coming onto my property, and they try and get us involved. This, all it does is it acknowledges that storm flows from one property to the next. And from my looking at grading in this area, it appears that everything flows from east to west.
Yeah, and your assumption is you're probably right. But my question was okay, so what you're saying is not necessarily the fact that we have to drain the water from this lot, from the east lot to the west lot, and then down into the alley. You're just saying there has to be some type of statement in there saying that water is going to go from one lot to the next, and that's it, and it doesn't matter where, correct?
Correct. It's just okay. Saying that water's crossing the line.
Okay.
And again, if you need help coming up with the language for that, for the plat, just contact me and I can help out with that.
Okay, and your contact information is in here somewhere?
I
see it.
Okay.
You're Ernest, right?
That's correct.
Okay, I got the phone number and email. Thank you, Ernest.
And this is Chair Wolfley. And then just to clarify, at the time you're building something on those lots, then you would need to do a grading and drainage plan and establish where the water's going to go.
That's correct. Is that correct? Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. Transportation.
Good afternoon. This is Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation. With these sketch plats, whenever we have lot line adjustments or additions, we tend to look for opportunities along the site frontage to see if anything is needed within the roads adjacent to the lots. And so with that being said, first of all, the minimum right-of-way width for an alleyway is 60 feet. It's 20 feet, whereas you show 16 feet for the alley. In this case, we would be asking for an additional dedication of 4 feet. Show existing features within the alleyway, such as power pole locations, on a separate exhibit to make sure that all roadway and utility features are located within the right-of-way to make sure that that right-of-way dedication would be sufficient. Also, it is noted that the minimum required sidewalk width on Hazeldine Avenue is 5 feet, according to current development process manual standards. However, with a 4-foot sidewalk that is shown instead, any deviation from this 5-foot requirement would require a DRB determination, and that can be handled through DRB administratively through your next submittal. You would just merely write a justification on how to maintain that 4-foot sidewalk based on things like pedestrian traffic, existing sidewalk widths that you're connecting into, et cetera. It would just be in the form of a justification letter that's submitted to DRB as part of the application. And also my final comment is to show the distance from the back of the curb to the property line along Hazeldine. The reason is, depending on this distance, a curve may be needed at the northeast corner of the property where the alley meets with Hazeldine to address any site distance concerns if needed.
Okay, there's already curb right there where the alley meets. It's actually on the northwest corner where the alley meets the property in Hazeldine.
And there's so already what I'm, a curve there, is a curve for the actual property corner there, not the curb itself, but a curve for the property corner. The reason we would put a curve there is to address any site distance concerns. However, if you work with me separately outside of DRB with more measurements, I can work through those requirements with you.
Okay. And as far as justification, keep the existing width, the 4-foot sidewalk that's already there, which is in great condition, by the way.
Yes.
What is justification besides the fact that you know it's with the current sidewalks that are in the area, and you know changing it is going to make it look way different than the rest of the neighborhood. I'm not sure what justification is. What justifies?
I think what you just started to describe is one of the justification notes. Another one would just be looking at existing pedestrian traffic within the neighborhood. And this is just administrative, you know, more than anything else in this case, just so we have a note on file as to why we justified keeping it at 4 feet.
Okay, sounds good.
Planning comments.
This is Maggie Gould. So, plat will require surveyor, city surveyor, and property owner signatures. All utility signatures will be required prior to final DRB sign-off. Confirm that the setbacks are met with the two new lots, and since they're vacant, that's not really an issue, but just make sure that the way they're being divided does leave room for whatever the future build-out condition is. See code enforcement comments for contextual standards for lot size. And this site is not within an overlay zone, corridor, or other special plan area.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's all standard stuff, I guess, right? Okay. Good enough.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'll now move to item 22, PR 2020-3903, sketch plat PS 2021-122 for
David Mittable at 1936 Cherry Lane Northwest and represented by Jack Planning and Zoning. Good afternoon, Ms. Garcia. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Juanita Garcia with JAG Planning and Zoning.
Okay. On Sketchplat, you can just jump in and give us a little bit of an overview of the request.
Okay, sounds great. Was hoping that maybe the plat or an image of the area could be displayed just to kind of explain a little bit about what we're...
This is Jay Rombeck. I'm pulling it up. Just one second.
Thank you. So we were here. It's been over a year. So our sketch plat expired, and now we're back again, seeking approval to have a remnant right-of-way piece that was vacated years ago, but was never fully implemented because the plat was not completed within the one-year deadline. So we are back again trying to seek the vacation of a remnant cul-de-sac piece that is currently on our client's property. And so that's pretty much it.
Okay. I'm just going to ask for my purposes to make sure I understand which piece we're talking about.
Okay.
It's this piece right here, yeah. Right? 1936.
Yeah. So I don't know if you could zoom in on this, on the plat a little bit more as well. So it's that little part that's shaded.
Okay.
On the plat, which is right around the area that was identified by Jay.
Okay, so right there?
Yes.
Where it says unclassified?
No. It's just north of that. The unclassified is the area of the Duranis ditch that's shown on the on the site plan.
Okay, so where that truck is?
Yes.
Okay.
More. All right.
That's helpful. There's so many interesting angles and things going on here that okay. Yeah, I was trying to line the two up and couldn't do it easily. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Water Authority.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. We have no objections to the vacation as presented. Some informational comments. We deal in the parcels to the west as one of our reservoir facilities. Reviewing this, we don't see any impacts of those as well. There is a public water and public sewer main in Cherry Tree Lane. That terminates south the ditch. Again, so no impact anticipated from that vacation as shown. No further objections or comments. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Code enforcement.
This is Charles Maestas with code enforcement. Code enforcement would have no comments or objections to this. Obviously, it's a piece of land that already exists within the platted property lines. So, yeah, no issues.
Thank you. Parks and Rec.
Summerfield with Parks and Rec. The MTP 2040 shows a proposed unpaved trail in the MRGCD property. So I just wanted to see who contacted them and if they have any comments.
Madam Chair, Ms. Summerfield, we did on our previous sketch plat. We were asked to reach out to MRGCD. And they did not have any comments, concerns, or objections to the request.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology doesn't really have any objections. I do have some notes that my engineer came up with, and it's basically on how the plat is presented. Part of it is, on the plat, on the left side, show a portion of Cherry Lane that was vacated and you give the action. Was that already vacated and replatted, being absorbed into another property?
Madam Chair, Mr. Armijo, yes, that has been. as you could see on that remnant piece, that the right part, or the the left part, or the western part of that cul-de-sac was vacated as well previously, and there have been several plats, or a couple of plats, I guess, one including this particular property, that incorporated those areas that had been vacated.
Okay. So, Ernest Remigo, Hydrology. So the only reason my engineer brings it up is that, and I know you're showing it for clarification, but on the plat, if it's already been vacated and it's already been absorbed into it with another plat, that doesn't have to be shown at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And then, yeah. And so then, of course, the semicircular part that you are looking at vacating, and so it'll get replatted into your client's property, we should probably remove the vacation action, since we're looking at vacating it now. So that vacation action wouldn't be valid now. So okay. It's just the cleaning up of the plat, really, is all the notes that we had.
Okay, sounds good. We'll let the surveyor know.
Okay.
Transportation.
Good afternoon. This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. The maximum distance for allowing a dead end street, such as in this case, is 150 feet. If the turnaround is not going to be used back there, what could be granted in its place to take care of this requirement on Sherry Lane? So that's, I think, similar to what was mentioned last time. And then for future replatting, sidewalk is required along platted parcels within public right-of-way along entire frontage. Any deviation from this requirement would call for a sidewalk waiver with neighborhood notification.
Okay, so Madam Chair, Ms. Wolfley, Ms. Wolfenberger, so this issue did come out, or we did discuss this previously. So as mentioned, the existing cul-de-sac that's currently being used on Cherry Lane is not proposed to be affected by this request. This is an area of an abandoned, partially or major cul-de-sac that was abandoned years ago. And so we're just trying to clean up the remnant piece of it. So in regards to the existing cul-de-sac that does currently exist on Cherry Lane that is being used by the residents there on Cherry Lane, we are asking that we be allowed to have it remain in its current configuration. I know the last time we were here, you had asked us to speak to fire about it. We did speak to fire about it. They had no objection to that cul-de-sac, and we can demonstrate that with the preliminary and final plat as well. But are hoping that we could apply for a waiver to that existing cul-de-sac that was constructed years ago, if that's what you're stating we need.
This is Jean. With transportation, I anticipate we will just have, try to continue these discussions outside of DRB. I realize that there's that existing cul-de-sac. I think one of the issues was that there's no, easement or right-of-way in place that covers that cul-de-sac area, and that was one of the issues with it. So I think we should probably just continue these discussions outside of DRB process.
And that's fine, but for the sake of the Water Authority being here, Jay, if you can zoom out on the Zone Atlas map a little bit more so we could show that the portion of the property that's across the street is actually within the property that's owned and controlled by the Water Authority. So if you can zoom in just a little bit more on the existing cul-de-sac So it would be a little bit further south of where you were at originally showing that cul-de-sac, correct? If you could zoom in just a little bit more. So as you could see, the cul-de-sac is actually constructed on a portion of on the Water Authority's property. So in order for our client to try to expand that would require including property that's within the Water Authority's property. So that's why we're asking for, we would be asking for a waiver if in fact we're being asked to widen that whole cul-de-sac.
This is Jean with transportation. It looks like outside of DRB, we could also coordinate with the Water Authority on that requirement and look further into that as far as the existing diameter.
Okay. Okay, then we'll reach out to you to see if we could come up with a solution to try to finally resolve this matter that's been pending for many years. Thank you.
Planning comments.
So this is Maggie Golden again. Our standard comments regarding numbers and the plat and utility signatures, confirming setbacks, seeing code enforcement comments for contextual standards, and then just listing the vacation criteria and process.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Garcia.
Okay, thank you.
All right, DRB members, let's move now to the action sheet minutes of October 6th, 2021. Is there a motion to approve those?
Lane Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Bill Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec seconds.
Please vote.
Lane Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to approve the action sheet minutes of October 6, 2021. And thank you, Ms. Gomez, for continuing to put those out in an exceptional way. Okay, our next item is signing session for approved cases. What do we have, Mr. Rodenbeck?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. We had six approved cases today, but only one document that actually could be distributed for signatures. That was the site plan for item number five, project PR 2021-5459. It was sent alphabetically to all the DRB members, with the exception of the DRB chair, Mr. Armijo. It should be in your inbox ready to sign.
Okay, let me see what we got here.
Okay, so everyone but Jean and Jolene should sign, because we both have delegations.
That's correct.
Got it.
All right, should be on to Blaine.
And while we're signing, I just wanted to acknowledge Charles. Charles has accepted a position with.
Actually, I'm going to Sandia Lab.
Okay, and what will your position be?
Entry level. I'm literally starting out in custodial with plans to move up once I get a clearance.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you can find a lot of good stuff in the garbage. So
there you go.
All right. Well, we're really excited for you, Charles. That's obviously a great employer, and we won't reveal how much it hurts us right at this moment, but it hurts us really, really big. Well,
thank you. I appreciate that.
But yeah, you've stepped into DRB on short order, and you're just right up to speed and very thorough and very clear. You've got really good capture of our requirements. And I don't know, I'm trying to look for a big iron clamp to go around your ankle. And I don't know, are you doing DRB next week, or is this your last one?
We haven't established that. I spoke with Rob and I'm going to be here until the 29th. So I'm available and I can cover DRB next week.
Okay. We probably need you. Okay. But anyhow, all right, Jay.
As long as something with my Zoom gets fixed, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, everybody had to sign in today.
Yeah.
I tried to sign in, but it didn't recognize something was wrong even with my city email. So I don't know.
All right. Looks like Blaine has signed. So it should be on to you, Mr. Got Sandia.
Got it right here.
Yeah, Mr. Sandia.
Let's see.
And Jolene said, Jean and her cannot sign this right now. They have delegated items that need to be addressed. So after Charles signs, then it is on to just Cheryl. And then that's it.
Did that come through okay, Jay?
It takes a little bit of time to go through, okay. But yeah, I'm sure it has. Cheryl, you should have it.
So Cheryl, do you have it? Did you sign it?
Yes, I sent it. I signed it and it should go back.
Okay.
Okay, great.
All right. With that, the DRB meeting is adjourned at 1:17 p.m.